Welcome to our episode of Revenue Chat. We're going to have Hans Dieterle, financially independent stock trader, who says, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. His dream is to build one of the most successful, active, managed investment firms in Florida, and he's well on his way. Hans gives us some basics on good, successful business next on Revenue Chat. Hi, everyone. This is Tony D'Urso with Revenue Chat, brought to you by Easy Sales Procedures. With us, we have Hans Dieterle, a financially independent stock trader. He grew up in Long Island, New York, and started his business career as a junior account rep while getting his bachelor's in business administration. Hans then became a stockbroker at Emmett A. Larkin and worked there for 2 years until he realized his calling as a stock trader, which he's done now for about 8 years. He's featured on multiple podcasts, published on TheStreet.com, and is growing as a top alternative investment fund manager in Florida. Hans achieved his dreams of being a successful stock trader and being financially independent. He's now active on his next goals to build one of the most successful managed investment firms in Florida and to create a nonprofit that teaches young students the basics of business and gives them a foundation upon which they too can become entrepreneurs. Hans's site is hansafinancial.com. That's HONZAfinancial.com. All right, get ready for Hans to give us some of the basics of good, successful business. Hello, Hans. How are you?
Good, good. Tony, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for being on our show. I'm glad to have you on board.
Likewise, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Hans, I mentioned some of your history on how you got started in all of this, but perhaps you'd like to expand upon that and tell us how you got started and give us the story, please.
Definitely. Well, it started back in college, my freshman year. Business was sort of a secondary option for me. I was always, as a youngster, more passionate about law enforcement, but business just kind of took me by storm. And I became a junior accountant. Finance and accounting was something that really, intrigued me. So I got involved with that. But, there wasn't as much advancement. There wasn't, as much excitement that, that really intrigued me in accounting. So my boss at the time, who was a former Wall Street broker, got me introduced to the actual stock market and to investing, and it was something that I just dove into immediately. And right after that, I went to work as a broker, and that was where it all started for me in the investment world. And once I got out of that realm, trading was something that gave me more of a vision of freedom, so to speak. So it was something that I studied day and night and, really became passionate about and really saw a future for me career-wise. So once I left the firm, I became trading full-time, and that's where I went from there for about 4 or 5 years, and then I decided to really just expand my vision and get into managing a firm.
I see. Tell us about your journey as a trader, from building the foundation and learning from mistakes to your strategy, overcoming hurdles and being successful.
Well, the biggest thing is the actual failure in any endeavor, really. As a trader, I started right at the peak of the real estate bubble when everything crashed, and that was a huge learning lesson. And now when I look back, it wasn't really a failure. It was more of a learning experience. And the problem is, most of the time people will look at something that's very difficult in any business and want to walk away because that's the easiest thing to do. But you have to have that mental fortitude to really just push forward. And that's what I kind of gave myself. And the first account that I traded, I just lost everything. Went to, you know, work again, saved up, opened another account, and, you know, lost about half of that. So for me, it was really just taking a step back, going back to the drawing board, and really figuring out what I need to do to become a successful trader. And the two biggest things for me was creating a strategy that's really ironclad. And that takes time, it takes patience. And the second part of that was taking the emotion out of the business in itself. And emotion, especially in trading, can take a huge toll on you because, you know, when you're playing with large amounts of money, you tend to become very emotionally attached and you don't make decisions as clearly as you should. So for me, you know, it wasn't an overnight success. I mean, it took time, it took months, and, you know, it was really just something you have to dial into and figure out what works and what doesn't work and just stick to that. Because, you know, once you become too complex with anything, especially for my strategy, then you start making little mistakes and those mistakes add up. So what I always said to myself was to keep it simple and to really just stick to the fundamentals, do what you know best, and that's worked for me, you know, ever since I started.
I see. You've been through the school of hard knocks
quite
thoroughly, just like all
of
us, huh?
And I'll tell you what, it's definitely the best teacher for sure.
I believe that. We're gonna go into that a little bit more just ahead of the show. But yes, it seems that every expert and CEO and successful businessman I have interviewed on Revenue Chat and that I know in life have all been through the school of hard knocks, and it's that persistence and refusing to fail that's been the successful element. But we'll go over that in a moment, just a little bit later. Let's go into the business of the trader. Now, you treat this as a business. So in that respect, what business structure should you form and what are the benefits?
For me, I found the best structure for a trader is LLC. More so just because of the tax advantages. I don't think until you start really managing money for others that you can, you know, worry about any type of liability or, you know, regulatory issues. But for me, it was more so just being able to take advantage of you know, reducing my tax burden. So I decided to get into an LLC, and it's just really been great. You know, you can deduct, you know, seminars, courses, trading equipment, you know, any type of fees that you have with your trader and your broker. So I would definitely recommend for anybody that's looking to trade full time and trade as a business to look into an LLC.
A limited liability corporation. That's interesting. Okay, good advice there. Now, you considered yourself a pioneer in a world of disadvantages in this. Tell us about that.
Well, Wall Street is just like, I say it's just like Vegas. I mean, the house always wins, right? So especially in this day and age where everything's, you know, electronic and everything is, you know, so technologically advanced, I mean, you have your advantages and you have your disadvantages. So the advantage is that everybody can come in, everybody can open a brokerage account, and everybody can trade. And so, you know, technically speaking, we all have access to the same tools and the same, you know, news outlets and platforms that the big firms on Wall Street have. However, at the same token, those big firms have more capital, more, you know, people to really just follow the markets, follow, you know, who's trading, where the orders are coming from, and figure out who's buying, who's selling. And really, the retail trader just doesn't have the time or the resources to do that. But, you know, I figured out just simply do what they do, and you'll pretty much always win. So the way I've really looked into, you know, carving out my strategy to be successful is to spend about 4 to 6 months, and that's just what I did, and just, you know, follow the markets, follow the charts, see what they're doing, and see where the discrepancies are, and really just focus on trying to create a strategy that encompasses all that and, you know, basically ride the wave, so to speak. So for me, it's like I don't want to go against what they're doing because, you know, you're just in for a trap and you'll get washed out every time. So for me, that's just how it worked. I just follow the big guys, and, you know, especially as a retail trader, I mean, that's pretty much the best way you can do it.
As a trader, Hans, do you do day trading or do you do over longer periods? Do you buy and hold? What kind of strategy is the best here?
I tend to find day trading is the best strategy only because, I mean, I think it's the most conservative. You know, buy and hold is just, it's pretty much a dinosaur now. There's too many fluctuations in the market. You know, you can wake up one day and you know, half your portfolio has disappeared. For day trading, you know, when you have, you know, strict risk parameters put into your strategy, I mean, you're not gonna fail. For me, I trade the first 30 minutes to 45 minutes of the trading day, and the rest of the day is kind of just very stagnant. The last half an hour can also be pretty fruitful, but for me, I stick with the first half hour. And, you know, most, you know, market wizards, and actually an article that I read a few weeks ago on CNBC, you know, showed actual historical data that really, you know, coincided with the fact that the first 30 minutes are the most successful for traders over a long period of time.
I see. Now, Hans, you did mention, and you and others as well, the strategy of following what the big boys do, but they don't day trade. They hold it for a while. So how can a day trader follow the strategies of the big boy who seem to be on a different strategy?
Well, in the morning you usually have, you know, you'll have what they call a gap up or a gap down, and, you know, any stock, usually with the high flyers like technology or biotech companies, will do this. And so there's if you look at any chart, the first half an hour is going to be the most volatile. It's going to be going up, down. You know, there's no sideways. So, you know, for example, when it's dropping, people are selling, there's a panic, and these guys are buying up all the shares, right? So once you find that weakness and you find that support level at the bottom, that's when you start accumulating more and more. That's where they're accumulating, and then you just ride it back up. And it's the same thing, and that's why it's so volatile, because as soon as they start raising the bid on that stock, people start buying into it. That's when, you know, everybody else jumps on the bandwagon, and that's what pushes up even more, and that's where you see the whole volatility come in. And this happens day in and day out. But they, for their strategy, I mean, you know, they're big hedge funds, so they're, you know, buying up tens of thousands of shares in various companies, so they're spreading it out during a whole trading day, or sometimes even a few days that they're spreading out their orders. But for the first half an hour, to really, you know, because the stock's going to find its high, it's going to find its low, and it's going to be up and down, and that's where you really just make your money. And they have to keep it orderly, so they have to, you know, keep the order flow straight, and they have to make sure that, you know, they're making money, because when the market opens and the stock's dropping, they're buying it up with their own firm's capital, and they're not going to lose. So they're going to make the stock go where they need it to go. And, you know, I've seen that pattern a lot, especially since sometimes I'll see the market open and it's up 100 points, and then the stocks that I'm watching are just dropping out of nowhere, but then they rebound and come back up. So I've tried to kind of, you know, put together, you know, why does this happen? And so I've done my research, and, you know, it's kind of a simple strategy. Most people don't follow it. I'm not sure why, but for me it's worked, and that's what I stick with.
Sure, I understand. Makes sense. Now, you talk about continued education. Is that continued education, not to be too funny, but from the school of hard knocks, or taking classes, or how does a trader, or especially a day trader in these days and times, continue and get good education to stay on top of things?
I think, you know, as much research as you can do into day trading, like we just said, the best teacher is the school of hard knocks. I mean, experience is your best teacher, because, you know, you can look at a chart and say, you know, this is what I would do here, here, and here, but unless you know, the market's live and you're really in it, you're not going to be able to, you know, handle it, because there's so many emotions going through your head. There's so many, you know, things going on at once that you just really need to try it out. And for me, you know, when I built my strategy, I specifically focused on paper trading for a few months until I really, you know, said to myself, okay, you know, here's my win loss rate. You know, I'm at a percentage where I feel comfortable, you know, putting my own money up. And, you know, I mean, that's where you basically build your foundational education. And it's every day is a learning lesson. So every day after each trade, I go back, reevaluate it, see where I made a mistake, see where I made, you know, a good choice. And I think that's the best thing you can do.
I gotcha. For someone starting in trading or wanting to try it maybe as a part-time gig, how long should they do it on paper before they feel they're ready to take it live with actual cash?
It really all depends. It can be, I would say, at least a month. You know, you have to really have it down pat. I mean, a lot of times people will start off, and I did the same thing when I first started. I had, I think, 8 or 9 winning trades right in a row, and then had one loss, and then it just, you know, you just aren't in it. You just want to make that money back as quickly as you can. Then you make another mistake, and it's just a domino effect. So, you know, I had to go back to the drawing board, and that's where I, you know, spent, I think it was 4 to 5 months of paper trading, and just really made sure that, you know, everything was in place and how I wanted it to be.
Sure. Let's try it in terms of a percentage or maybe a win-loss. What percentage of your trade should be successful before you, on paper, to go into using actual cash?
Well, for me, I went with, you know, at least an 80% win rate. I mean, it's really tough to get to that level or beyond, but I think, you know, anywhere between 60 and 70 is you're considered, you know, a solid win rate, because that then comes into another, you know, variable. Where do you cut your losses, right? So if you have a 60-40 win rate, but your losers are bigger than your winners, then you're pretty much failing, right? So I think when it comes to win-loss, you have to make sure that your win rate is at least 60%, and you make sure that 40% that you're losing, you cut short, and you don't let those losers run and really just drain up your capital.
Of course, yes, got to cut the losing right away. Hans, you're the second trader that I've had on my show, and that 80% mark is consistent. That's what the other trader was able to hit, and that was his determining method to go live as well, which is quite astounding when you think of it, to be able to have that kind of accuracy in dealing with the stocks. I've had my own forays in stocks, and I think I've done all right, but it was a little bit brutal and too much up and downs and too much emotion, especially I wasn't doing it as my full-time job or anything like that. I was doing it just, you know, with investment capital. It was just too stressful for me. So my hat's off to someone that can do it consistently all the time. It's very good.
Yeah. I mean, it really comes down to you have to be in it 24/7, 365. I mean, it's a full-time thing, and, you know, like I said, even when you're trading 30 minutes a day, I'm watching the markets all day, and I'm just going back and, you know, going over trades, going over charts, and just, you know, really just hammering it down to figure out, you know, what I need to do to improve, because you can always improve. And the one thing I think that, you know, really keeps you on your toes, especially with trading, is the fact that, you know, every day is a different day. Every day is unique, and you'll never know what's going to happen. And there are definitely days where, you know, everything's just lined up perfectly, and the trade just does not go where I need it to go. And I think that's where it really keeps you in check and keeps you humble, because you don't look at it as, you know, I'm going to make money today. You look at it as, well, I need to, you know, work on my risk management and really work on pulling out a profit. Not so much, you know, dollar-wise, but percentage-wise, and really stick to, you know, treating it as a business and making sure that you make money and not lose it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Got it. Now, you went one step further. You just didn't day trade for yourself. You took that leap, so to speak, and you built a firm. So how does one do that? You know, they determine that they're good enough or at a certain level or point. How do you take that leap to building the actual firm?
I think what it takes is, you know, you have to have not only passion, but you have to have a vision. So trading for yourself is easy. And, you know, because you're in control of your own capital, you're in control of your own decisions. Once you start bringing in, you know, other people's capital, that's when you have to really be more careful. You have to be able to see if you can handle it, because, you know, in the options market, which I trade options, you don't want to put in too big of an order, because you're going to start moving the market, right? So you're going to start moving the market, then it's going to start going against you. It could not, you know, go against you, but it could. And it really becomes a matter of logistics, right? So you have to break up the accounts. You have to put them in other people's names or your firm's name. And then you have to have other traders that come in. And so, you know, it becomes a full-time operation. But I think if you have a good idea of how it should run and you really do your research beforehand, it's not too tough. At first, obviously, you have to do, you know, your due diligence, right? So you have to know what their risk tolerance is, if they, you know, if their goals coincide with yours, because I do my day trading and I don't do any other type of trading. So if someone wants me to buy and hold, then I'm just not the right person for them to invest with. So I think you just have to have the vision and the clarity and really know what you're doing, know what your obstacles are, and, you know what your clients can really handle. And I mean, you know, that's about it. I mean, it's just you have to just dive into it, because, you know, for me it was like, I have a successful operation going on. I can trade by myself, I can trade as a career, but I decided that I want to have a firm, I want to go further, I want to expand, and I did as much research as I could and jumped right into it, and it just, you know, it all fell into place because I already had a good outline already written down.
Very cool. Gotcha. Now, in doing that, of course, as well as in doing trading, we get the all-time topic of dealing with fear of failure and the failure itself. So how do you overcome those kind of hurdles? Because there's two. There's the, you get failure, but also that fear of failure, sometimes it's the worst one. So how do you deal with that?
The fear of failure is a very tough one. And I think what it really comes down to is, you know, you just have to have a very strong mental focus. And I know that when I first started, I didn't really have a fear of trading. I think once you start making, you know, your first few big losses is when that fear of failure comes in. And then there's times where you just sit there and you just don't want to trade because you think you're going to make another loss, right? So for me, it was really just determining that, you know, there's a reason why there's the 1% and the 99%, right? So you have to do, to achieve the 1%, you have to do what the 99% won't do. And that's really, you know, building up a strong mental focus. So for me, when I had that problem, I said to myself that I needed to, you know, change that in a way that it became a habit. So every day I would watch, you know, motivational videos, inspirational videos, and, you know, practice as much as I could and just, you know, tell myself that, you know, you just have to go for it, because for me it was just a simple quote. It's either, you know, if I try or don't try, I could fail. So I might as well try, and there's a chance I could win. So I think, you know, what it takes is just you have to keep trying, you have to get up, and you have to work on honing in your mental strength. And I think for me and a lot of people that I know, those motivational videos really help with that.
Cool. All right. My book will help on that too, Easy Sales Procedures, but that's a separate topic. But that's very cool. Now, this factor of overcoming failure and the fear of failure requires a mindset change. Now, what can you do to change your mindset to keep moving ahead? How do you do it?
For me, it's just little habits each day. I usually write down my goals for the week. I do little habits. I try to, I spend every morning, I read a little bit on the financial news. I'll read about, a new book every week. I watch my motivational videos. And I kind of break it down into little segments each day. So I'll read for 20 minutes. I'll watch 20 minutes of those videos. And just really get in the habit of creating a pattern to change that mindset. Because no one's going to change, instantly. It takes time. It takes practice, right? So I think if you start creating little habits each day to change your mindset, it'll eventually develop into, just a rhythm. And you just, it's second nature. And you create that mindset and it just sticks with you.
I gotcha. Now, Hans, for our title of our show and what we build the audience was that we were going to give them the basics of successful business. So let's talk about these. Let's get in depth into what are the basics of successful business that you have found work very, very well for you, please.
Well, for me, I think what it is you have to create something, a product or a service that you can see every person and every company using. Because a lot of times people will start a business and it'll have, it'll cater to a certain niche, a certain market segment, right? But if you can't really scale that business, then, you won't really build it to the capacity that it needs to go to. And I feel that if you don't have that idea that can cater to everybody or at least a large portion of the consumer base, then, you need to come up with something else. And another thing is once you already have something, I think it's, you need to have a good unique selling point, right? Something that sets you apart. And I found that, for me and a lot of different, seminars that I've listened to and a lot of books that I've read, that they talk about keeping your marketing simple and to the point. And that's what I've tried to stick with. But I've seen a lot of times you'll see ads or, brochures, and they just become, very complex, and they just create confusion. And I think that for any business, when it comes to that point, you just have to worry about what makes your business the best, and people will see the passion that you have about your business, about your product or service, and they'll buy you. Because it's not, what you're selling necessarily, it's how you sell it. And you have to sell yourself, right? Because you can go on and talk about how you're better than this person or that company, but, people don't want to hear that. They want to hear that you're passionate about your product so much that they'll want to buy it right on the spot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely agree with that. Passion, desire, faith, those are very, very important, far more important than perhaps most people think. You have a couple of goals, Hans. Yeah, you have a couple goals, which are very interesting. Tell us about these.
Well, my goal, my two biggest ones are to, become the top firm in Florida for, actively managed investments. And I think it's something that is really missing down here. I mean, you have New York, you have Miami, Palm Beach, you have those huge financial hubs, right? But Tampa Bay doesn't really have that. So that's kind of the epicenter of where I want to start. So, my goal is to kind of build up a clientele there and just slowly expand. And for me, I'm not looking to be, the biggest in the country. For me, it's to cater more to the clients in the state that I live in and, treat them as a client and not as a number. So for me, to have more of a boutique style firm, caters to my desire to treat every client as a personable. Because I meet with them, I talk to them, we go out together, and it's just really developing a relationship. And for the second goal, I have a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, that works down in the Bank of Tampa, and she's on a non-for-profit that does education as well. And for me, I came up with something that really hit me because when I was in school, we never learned the basics of business or even just the fundamentals of writing a simple check, right? So for me, I want to be able to provide, students, at least if they're, seminars at high schools, colleges, and just give them a basic understanding of, check writing, how to balance finances, basic investment advice and just really give them, a foundation so they're not going into the real world, dazed and confused.
I gotcha. That's very good. That's very cool. When do you plan to start that? Do you have a time frame for that nonprofit for the teaching the young students?
I'm looking to start that probably in the latter part of 2016. I still have a few people to meet with and just bounce some ideas around and really go into the steps of creating a blueprint of how I would want that run. And it might even be involved with her not-for-profit, but that's still in the works. So I'm thinking next year for sure.
Okay. Well, definitely keep me in mind. If there's something there, we can definitely announce it to our audience as well and tell them about that. That'd be interesting.
Absolutely.
Okay. Anything else that you would like to share with our audience, Hans, about the basic successful business and so forth?
Absolutely. I think one thing that people tend to forget is, no empire was really built alone. And you have to have a strong team around you that work just as hard as you do. And I found that, when I worked alone as a trader, you don't really have a team because you're more of a sole proprietor, right? But when you're really trying to build a business, you need a strong team and you need a strong support system. And a lot of times people neglect that and think, they can do it all alone and it'll save costs, but in the long run it's going to bite you. And I think another thing is that you not only have to love what you do, but you're going to work more than 40 hours a week. And you really have to look at it as a hobby. There's times that I'm up till, 1, 2 in the morning just doing research, watching videos, seminars, reading, and it comes second nature. I don't look at it as a job. I don't look at it as, something that's strenuous or taking up my time. And I think that's where it really becomes enjoyable because you love what you do. And that's where the biggest hurdle comes in is people, jump into a business and think it's going to be, an ATM and it's just going to be a cash cow and just make money and it's all going to come piling in. But they fail to realize that, it's not going to happen overnight. So you really have to put in the work and you have to enjoy it, because if you're not passionate about it, you're going to look for every excuse to just not work as hard, not put in the effort, and it's just going to crumble on you. And I mean, you see it all the time, and it's an unfortunate thing. And I think people also have to look at, you have to have your goals, right? You have to have your big goals and you have to have your, daily goals, weekly goals. And I think that's what really makes it easy to not only start, but to manage a small business, because, you know what you have to get done each day, what you have to get done each week. And once you have, a blueprint like that set up, then you pretty much know where you're going. You know where to navigate and you slowly build it up. But with no goals and no clarity, I mean, it's like a ship with no captain. It's just going to go nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I like that part about the hobby, or treating it as different than a job, because to be successful and really make it, one has to go beyond that 40-hour work week. You have to transcend that. You have to put some nights and weekends in there. There's no other shortcuts. There just isn't. So that's very interesting. I like that. You have to have that love, that desire, that passion to just keep going, because it's not like clock out at 5 o'clock. This is your life you're creating.
Exactly. And, I mean, yeah, you have to look at it as, your competition is running 24/7 because there's, so many hundreds and thousands of different people that are working so many different types of hours, and you can't say, I'm going to work 8 hours and then call it quits, because there's someone that's working, twice as hard as you, and they're going to make it before you do, and then you're shut out. So the passion has to drive you. It really does.
Yes. Hans, your line, you like to say this, you say, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Can you explain that and tell us about this?
Absolutely. I really came across, you know, came across this, I think, maybe 2-3 years ago, and, you know, I love the quote a lot because, you know, it applies a lot to business and also applies a lot to sports, and, you know, I'm a big sports guy, and you see it all the time. There's so many athletes and, you know, that are not only, you know, in college but professional, and you look at all the headlines and you look at how, you know, they restart them, and then it just becomes more of a show than an actual sport. And but when that line really came in, it came in because I've seen so many people that, you know, work so hard, don't have the talent necessarily, right? But they're willing to outwork anybody to get there. And there's countless, you know, examples of people that, you know, weren't as talented but, you know, persevered and worked hard and had the mental strength to really just, you know, push ahead and get to where they want to be. And that's one of the biggest things in business. You know, there's so many people with, you know, MBAs and have, you know, Ivy League education, work for the biggest firms, but at the same time, you know, they're more of a sense in a rat race, right? And the people that come from nothing and really, you know, there's a lot of times where there's college and high school dropouts that come in and build, you know, billion-dollar companies. And I mean, you know, one in a million might be a genius to do that, but it takes that hard work, it takes that, you know, countless effort, and that's what really, you know, builds someone up to a spectacular level. Because you can have all the talent in the world, but if you throw it out the window, it does you no good. Because there's always going to be someone knocking on the door behind you trying to chase what you have. So that's why I always look at it as, like, I don't ever become complacent, because I know that there's someone else probably out there that has the same idea as me and, you know, are trying to outwork me. So that's why I always look at it as, you know, have the passion, but also have it as a hobby, because once you do that, you'll outwork everybody all the time and it'll be fun at the same time.
Very interesting. Very good. I like that. All right. Makes good sense. Anything else you would like to share with the audience, Hans?
I think the one thing that, you know, people should take away is you have to have the dedication. The dedication, the patience, and the perseverance. A lot of times, you know, people will hear no. And you're going to hear it a lot. No is going to be a word that, you know, is going to get engraved into your memory, especially when you're starting out trying to sell somebody a service or a product. And, you know, the reality is no one really cares about, you know, your product or service or dream. You have to go out and persuade them. So that's when the passion comes in. You have to be passionate and you have to persevere. You know, 9 times out of 10, you're going to hear a no. And that's what really puts off a lot of people, and they quit. And I feel it's an unfortunate thing, because there's so many ideas and there's so many great opportunities, and people don't really jump on board until it becomes something popular. And, you know, a motivational speaker I listened to a few months back, Les Brown, said, you know, the greatest ideas and the biggest dreams are all buried in the graveyard, because there's so many people that were scared to, you know, take their idea out, take their invention out and try and bring it to the world, because they heard no, or people put them down and put their idea down. And, you know, that's the biggest killer for people, is once they hear that no so many times, that fear of failure just becomes so big, and it's just makes them quit. And I feel, you know, if people just persevered more, they would be extremely successful. And so, you know, I think that's something you have to think about before you launch anything, whether it's a service, trying to invent a product or a business or write a book. You just have to have that perseverance and know that there will be people that will tell you no and tell you your product sucks. But, you know, if you know that it's great and you have the passion for it, there will be somebody that will recognize it and say, I love this, and that's when everybody else starts jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah, and we've touched a little bit upon this earlier in this interview, but what's your tip or trick, or how do you get past that no? What, when you hear no so many times, what makes you, Hans, what makes you say, no, I'm not going to accept that and move up? How do you get past that?
I think what it is like I mentioned before, is like you have to have those little habits and you have to build that strong, you know, mental strength to get past that, because, you know, no is a disheartening word to hear, especially when you're starting out and you have something that you feel incredible about and people tell you it's not good or they don't want it, and it just makes you just want to quit and walk away. But I think that once you say to yourself that the biggest motivational speech that you will ever hear is when someone tells you no or tells you that you can't do something, that's, I think, that spark that lights the fire, right? And that's what really lit the fire for me, is, you know, people will tell you you can't do this, you can't do that, but that's what should really push you to say, you know what, I'm going to prove them wrong. And that's what I really used, especially, you know, in sports, and then I, you know, took it into trading and into business, because, you know, people don't agree with a lot of things and people won't agree with something until it's popular. And it's been like that, you know, in life in general. You have a herd mentality. So unless something is popular and everybody knows about it, you know, no one's going to jump on the bandwagon. So I think what it takes is just, you know, to keep pushing forward and know that that yes will come. And when it comes, that's when you'll just feel that satisfaction. But, you know, any endeavor is going to be tough. You're going to hear no hundreds of times, and you just have to keep pushing forward and know that, you know, your passion and your drive and your dedication to just, you know, keep, you know, finding new clients and really pushing to market your product or service will pay off.
Well said, Hans. Excellent. I think those are very good, all very, very good points. Well, I thank you very much. It's been wonderful to have you on our show. If there's anything else in closing,
I think we you know, divulge into everything that, you know, meets the basics. And, you know, one last thing we can add before we conclude. I think one thing that people should realize, and you don't really hear this a lot, is to never underestimate anybody you meet. And I've kind of noticed that, especially once I came into the Tampa area, because you never know who can help you or add value to you and your business. And I feel that people sometimes look at people from their exterior and automatically judge them. And I think if you really get to know people, you never know who knows who, because it's such a small world when you start meeting new people that it's truly incredible. And I feel if people really pay attention to that, then, you know, you'll meet some incredible people, and it can really propel any business endeavor.
Well said. I like that. Well, very, very good. I want to thank you again, Hans. Love this talk. It was great having you on Revenue Chat and going over your wisdom, your experience, and so forth. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Tony. It was great being here.
Cool. Again, everyone, Hans's site is hansafinancial.com. That's HONZA.com. All right. Thank you again, everyone, and stay tuned to our next show on Revenue Chat. We're going to have the world-famous Michael Tellinger, an author of 4 books, scientist, and explorer, who has become a real-life Indiana Jones, making groundbreaking discoveries about advanced vanished civilizations at the southern tip of Africa. Now, while his research and discoveries are very intriguing, it is his theories in view of money which caught my attention, as they are profound. Michael tells us how to survive in a financial catastrophe on the next episode of Revenue Chat. This is Tony D'Urso, brought to you by Easy Sales Procedures. Get the book at TonyDURSO.com and pick up copies for all of your business contacts. Until next time, and remember, you can make life better for yourself and everyone. Choose wisely. Hi, this is Tony D'Urso, author of the new book, Easy Sales Procedures. You know, in my career, I've made impressive record-breaking sales forays into real estate, collectibles, insurance technology, and other varied industries. My accomplishments include raising $3.25 million in a six-month period. Now, despite what we've been told, sales is an art. There are sales procedures that can be applied precisely as a science, but in essence, it's truly an art. There are fundamentals that you need in place that will help you with your sales, marketing, and business. Get easy sales procedures to help put your business into proper perspective. You know, too many people seem to make sales complicated. Hey, it's easy. All you need are some basics and three words: open, agree, and get. That's it. That's EasySalesProcedures.com. This book will endow you with the simple truths at the core of being a sales master, and also contains salesman training drills that, when practiced, demonstrate how to interest any person in anything. These simple procedures can be applied by anyone from any walk of life, because in modern day society, every person is involved in interesting or selling someone something. That's Easy Sales Procedures. Get your copies now at a low price from EasySalesProcedures.com. Order enough for all your employees, too. Here's to volume sales success for your life and business.